Welcome to What the Fuck Yoga Podcast. I'm your host, Anna.
And I'm your other host, Katie.
Welcome.
How's it going?
So good.
Good. Why always ask that? No, I always ask that. And then I feel like an idiot. Like, they can't answer.
You weren't looking at me, but I answered anyways because no one else was going to.
Because nobody else loves
me.
Like,
good.
Maybe, okay, if somebody said that on a podcast and I was in my car, I'd be like, oh,
I'm
good.
So
thanks.
Good. Thank you for asking.
You're so sweet. Thanks for asking me. You know, can you blah, blah, blah.
Katie was asking you guys, so
I was.
Feel free to respond.
Yeah. And then Anna just decided that she was the star of the show and she was going to answer.
So good. So what have you been up to?
Trying to stay festive.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I love Christmas.
We're
I'm
like
kind of a nerd.
10 days out. 9?
Oh, God.
9?
Are we really?
I think so.
It's
out.
December 16th. Not by the time this comes out.
God.
By the time this comes out, it'll be even closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have shopping to do.
Me too.
I'm waiting for my next paycheck.
Like, all of it.
And then there's not enough shipping time, so...
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because I don't like going to stores.
Yeah.
Like, I hate shopping during the holidays because it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
But I was like, I wonder when the last day is to get things shipped.
I've been, no, I can't say that. No, okay. Because I know my mom listens to this. And I can't say it.
Earmuffs, mom.
Earmuffs, mom. I don't want you to know your present. I'll just not say it.
Okay.
Okay, there
we'll
go.
We'll save it for
we'll
the
save
next,
it.
The
yeah.
next app after Christmas.
Anyway. Yeah, trying to stay
So how
festive.
Are you staying festive? Tell me how you're staying festive.
Last weekend, my husband and I, can't say like
just
normal
say
person,
it normally.
Husband.
My husband.
My husband. That sounded
maybe
like
goals for 2018, just to be able to say husband.
That's a lofty
without,
goal.
Like, cringing or twitching or...
Cringe. It makes it sound like I hate him.
No. I know you do.
It's just a weird
getting
word.
Used to the idea.
My domestic partner with legal ties and I last weekend went out to Woodstock and looked at the lights and they
like
decorated
the square.
Yeah, they decorated
the
square. It's really
I haven't
nice.
Been there in years.
Let's go right now.
Uh-huh.
Bye, guys. And then we went to Ethereal Confections and I had tea. And he had a drink, and I wanted
Yum.
A drink, but
oh, yeah,
I could only
can't
have
drink
tea.
Right
so, yeah.
Shoot, what a horrible
diet.
Time.
I know,
to not
the
be drinking.
Yeah. That's okay, because it's going to make me feel better.
Yeah, totally.
I'm doing an elimination, for those of you who don't know us, I'm doing an elimination diet to figure out what is going on with my autoimmune disorder. So, I can eat, like, nothing right now, which is fine, because... You know, goals.
Right. And it's forcing
not
Katie to have to cook everything, which means I eat really well when I come over.
It is true.
So, no
like,
plans for me.
Prepared for today.
Oh, it's okay.
We have a veggie. I can whip together a veggie medley. And you can have some eggs.
Ooh, I love eggs.
Yeah. All right.
Yum.
Cool. And then, that's it for that day. And then just, I've been really interested in this thing. Called, is it Icelandic? I don't know.
I don't know.
I should look that up.
I think
but
it's like Nordic.
Nordic.
So it could be Icelandic.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
A Nordic tradition called, well, I thought it was Higgy, because it's H-Y-G-G-E, and I was like, oh my God, has anybody heard of this concept of Higgy? Higgy, 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 Higgy. And nobody knew what I was talking about. And then I realized, I learned the other day that it's pronounced Huga.
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 Love it.
And I told my sister, and she goes, no, that sounds like a cartoon character who, like, like a pretty lady walked by, and the cartoon character went,
Huga! That's funny.
I know. It makes it even better, though. But Huga is all about, like, comfort, I think. I don't know. I got to look into this more before I just butcher somebody's tradition. But it's just, like, making yourself comfortable is what I understand, and indulging in these self-care things. So I've been lighting a candle when I sit down in the morning with my tea or bone broth. So
yum.
Yeah, it is actually pretty good. And doing little things like, you know, just making sure the Christmas tree is on and making sure that the light is warm and not over bright, not too dark. So yeah, I took a bath last week.
Huga.
It makes it sound less like Higgy, like that sounds like comfy, but then there's like Huga.
Huga sounds, it sounds like a Viking thing to me.
A Viking word?
Yeah, like self-care for Vikings.
Which is like the opposite when they're pillaging and like killing people.
Hey, Vikings need self-care and self-love too.
Yeah, first you go decimate a village and then you
then
go
you take,
and
a
take a lavender scented bath.
Yeah, totally.
I like it. You gotta get the blood out of your beard.
Ew. Anyways.
How do you celebrate? how have you been staying festive, Anna?
Well, I'm like obsessed with our tree.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had
it's
a
gorgeous.
Real tree before. Thank you. So yeah, we cut it down like at the very beginning of December or maybe the end of November. And it's like still going strong, which I was really concerned about.
Yeah.
But we're watering it every day and it's beautiful. So that's like
tell
always
me about
lit.
The bomb.
Oh, the tree bong? So my boyfriend Austin thought he was like a genius, which it actually is a pretty ingenious thing that he came up with. Actually, I don't know if he came up with it. I feel like he Googled it. But
I was
for now,
he should market it and make
for
money
now,
out of it.
We'll give him credit. Yeah, he should patent it. So it's called a tree bong, and all he did, he went to Ace and he got like a funnel, like a 99-cent funnel, and then a I don't know, like a clear piece of plastic tubing for, I don't know, I think this whole thing cost under $3.
Nice.
So he attached the tubing to the funnel. The tube goes into the base of the tree, and then the funnel is kind of like hidden in the back of the tree, but sticks out enough so that when you water it, you don't have to like bend down and get covered in needles. You just, you know, water
it right in.
Yeah. I'm talking with my hands a lot. You guys can't see it. I do this like every episode. Ah!
If you guys could see Anna right now, she's being very expressive. A little overexpressive.
A little overexpressive. It's the Italian in me. I'm sorry.
We're both Italian. This is bad for podcasting.
I know. So anyways, tree bongs, you guys should make them. They're amazing.
Yeah, and send the profits to Austin.
To Austin, yes.
Every time you make a tree bong, you have to send $3 to Austin. Copyright 2018.
How funny would that be?
You just get like all these envelopes in the mail for
$3. It's like, what's happening?
I kind of want to do that.
Me too.
Just
you should like mail him
$3. Envelopes and envelopes. But like go to different post
or like
offices.
Write a check and then have the reason be tree bong.
And the bank's like, okay.
Sure.
It's an interesting memo line.
Yeah. Let's see. Ways I've been staying festive besides watering my tree. I've been drinking a lot of hot chocolate.
Mm.
Like, probably a not good amount of it. Like, probably 3 to 4 nights a week. I'm like, hot chocolate!
Do it up.
Yeah.
I go through phases. I was drinking, I mean, now I can't have chocolate, but
no.
I know. Before that, I was getting, like, I just wanted it every night because it just felt so cozy.
I know.
It's comfy.
And I have a unhealthy relationship with chocolate, so it's just an excuse for me to consume it more.
Oh, there you go.
So there's that. And last night before work, or yesterday afternoon, I watched A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet this year.
I haven't seen it, like, since I was a kid, so
really?
It was really exciting.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was on HBO Go. Let's see. And I also watched White Christmas, which is one of my favorite Christmas movies. But I'm, like, a nerd for musicals.
Yeah.
So.
I like musicals, too.
Yeah, I had to watch that one on my own. Austin, like, came down. I had to watch it in two parts. So I watched, like, a little bit of it last Sunday. And then Austin came downstairs. And he was like, no. Absolutely not. He's like, I'm trying. But, like, 2 minutes in, I already want to stab my eyeballs and ears out. And I was like,
I don't think
okay.
I've seen that one.
It's, like, a hardcore musical. Like,
yeah.
Singing and dancing. And, yeah, it's
I wish you guys could see that, too.
It's really good, though.
I'll
so anyways, I had to
out.
Watch it without him another day, which is fine. So I guess that's it. That's how I've been festive.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
They do. Everything.
So today's topic
is not Christmas.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
But today's topic is
What the fuck are mantras? Woo!
Woo!
Katie, what are mantras?
Mantras. Good question. There is no agreed upon definition of the word mantra
among
scholars.
Really
yeah. Like most yoga.
Great.
Although Merriam-Webster, they'll have a definition for everything,
yeah.
Obviously. So they say a mystical formula of invocation. Pretty nondescriptive, pretty basic, and it really doesn't go very in depth. The best definition that we found was by Jan Gonda. She's a scholar on Indian mantras. And she said, mantra is is the general name for the verses, formulas, or sequence of words in prose which contain praise, are believed to have religious, magical, or spiritual efficiency, which are meditated upon, recited, muttered, or sung in a ritual, and which are collected in the methodically arranged ancient texts of Hinduism. There's a lot to write down in there.
You guys got that?
Repeat after me. No, there's a lot in there. But basically, a mantra is the term that we use for any kind of sequence of words that contain praise, are believed to have religious or spiritual efficiency.
Yeah,
whatever.
Meaning.
Yes, meaning.
Ties.
And that people meditate on or recite in a ritual.
Yeah.
Done.
Cool.
And they're often collected in the ancient texts of Hinduism.
Totally. So the discovery that sound, or more specifically repetitive sound, aka mantras, affects consciousness was made a really, really long time ago, just like everything else we discuss. So by the time the Vedic civilization was flourishing in India, we discussed these guys.
Week one and week two.
We
history.
Mention them all the time. So if you don't know who they are, go back and listen to episode one. So these guys were flourishing in India long time ago. And sound was a big form of religious expression and spiritual expression for them. So think chanting, drumming, music in general. And the hymns of the Vedas are referred to as mantras. So again, this is an ancient text from the Vedic civilization. There's no English equivalent to the word mantra, which is kind of like what we were just explaining. There's like no really good definition. But mantra is derived from the word man, which is to think or be intent. And according to esoteric explanation, it stands for trana, which means saving. So mantra is that which saves the mind from itself, which is also an instrument of thought.
Yeah. Cool. So sound is a form of vibration. You know, the sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
We won't get too sciencey on you, but if you don't know that sound is sound waves,
now you
take a Google break
and
go Google. And according to the ancient yogis, the universe is in a state of vibration. So if you've ever been to a gong bath, they talk about how each of those gongs vibrates with the same frequency of different planets or the moon or the sun.
I have never been to one. Have you been to one? I've always wanted to go, but they're always like Friday or Saturday evenings, and I work.
Yeah, they are. I'll keep my eye open for something.
I would love to go to one. Yeah.
But it's so cool.
Okay.
Where was I?
Well, same with, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the crystal
healing
bowls.
Same with the crystal healing bowls. So I know Jessie, if you guys know Jessie Ray of Wild Roots Yoga and Body Work, she does like a sound bath. Is that what it's called? Yeah, with the crystal healing bowls, which is awesome.
It's similar.
So it's probably
bath.
Like
yeah.
Very, very similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
cool.
mean, it's like longer sound waves,
mm-hmm.
so a deeper frequency with
yeah.
the gongs.
Those are intense.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's times when like my heart starts pounding.
Yeah. Same.
When I'm in there. And
it almost gives me like, no, I don't want to say anxiety, but it triggers something. It triggers something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it brings up some anger, which is really
interesting
too. And I'm just sitting there like, son of a.
Son of a bitch.
Why did you hit that gong? That's okay.
Yeah.
I need to process this.
So funny. And then some of the vibrations are so calm and
mm-hmm.
dreamy.
Yep. I love
it's
it.
It's crazy.
We'll
yeah.
find one that you can make.
Yay.
Yay.
Awesome.
So anyway, back to mantras.
Yeah.
So anyway, the universe is in this state of vibration. So after about 3,000 years of sound healing in the Eastern tradition, the Western world has pretty much turned a blind eye to this. We don't really acknowledge things that we haven't investigated yet.
Right.
So there's not much scientific research to back it up. And so it's really come down to the practitioners of mantra and sound healing to really substantiate the effects of sound on body and mind.
That's you guys.
That's you guys. So do it. However, we're starting to catch on in the Western
mm-hmm.
world. And some significant research has been made into the vagus nerve. And they are finding that when they put pacemakers next to the vagus nerve and stimulate them on a regular basis with magnets, what this does is help regulate the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, which helps with autoimmune disorders, stress, anxiety, all different kinds of hormonal issues. And what they're finding is that they can stimulate that vagus nerve not only through this pacemaker, but through sound. I'll probably nerd out on that on a different episode.
Cool.
I don't want to get too deep on that because I haven't done much of the research yet. So,
well, it sounds really interesting.
It's fascinating.
Maybe we'll drop a link in the show notes.
Yes. Yeah. Let's
do
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. So, as we told you before, a mantra is a sacred sound spoken in Sanskrit. It empowers the mind and is thought to be charged with spiritual power. So this can be used as a tool in meditation. It is said that the prolonged and concentrated chanting leads to alterations in consciousness. So I have some experience with this. When I took my teacher training,
mm-hmm.
which was 3.5 years ago now, we would start. So, okay, let me back up a little bit. I did an intensive, so I was in Thailand for a month, and every morning we would wake up at like, oh my God, some ungodly hour, like 5 a.m. or something. We have to get to the practice space. I know. And I mean, we were in the jungle, so it was like this beautiful, really just cool setting, which I'm sure had a lot to do with it. But so we'd get there at like 5 in the morning, be pitch black out, and the jungle would be like just starting to come alive with like insects and birds.
God.
It was the coolest sounds. But we would all, the rule was you had to enter silently, and we'd sit in this big circle. My two teachers, or whoever was teaching that morning, they would trade off, would sit in the center. And we always started with chanting. And we used a few of the mantras that we'll talk about a little bit later in this episode, but at first it was really hard because it's all in Sanskrit,
mm-hmm.
and my teacher would, you know, say a line and we'd repeat it. She'd say another line, we'd repeat it, and then we would just go together, and half the time I'd get lost and have to, like, stop and catch up. But as the month went on, because we would do, like, the same couple over and over, it got easier and easier, and, like, towards the end, I didn't really have to think about what I was saying. So we would chant it 108 times. And just with like 25 people chanting, like in the jungle, 5 a.m, jungle starting to wake up. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the coolest thing. At first it was frustrating. And then once I got it down, I definitely had an altered state of consciousness.
Yeah.
I would say like we would end and then it'd be silence and I would feel high as
yes.
a kite, like just high.
I had that too, and I was in a classroom. Like,
yeah.
I can only imagine what it would be like in a jungle. Because we would do our chanting at the beginning of class as
yeah.
well, and we didn't come in silent. Like, it was kind of we'd chat and stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
we'd get to
okay.
our chanting. And we kind of learned it the same way with, like, a call and repeat,
yeah.
and then eventually taking it on our own.
Right.
But it was so funny. We'd have our eyes closed, and afterwards, like, you even in the silence,
mm-hmm.
there was sound.
Yes.
And it was like that.
Like, it's a vibration.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Like, you build that vibration.
Totally.
And it lingers. And it was so weird every time because we'd open our eyes and we'd realize that we all had these stupid-ass grins on our face. And then
yeah.
we'd start, like, giggling, like, and totally ruin the levity of the moment.
Right.
But it just, like, it created this lingering
it's so good.
Peace in the space,
mm-hmm.
you know? It
yeah.
was, yeah. I liked it.
I'm blanking on the type of yoga that uses chanting.
Tantra does a lot.
Tantra and Kundalini.
Kundalini.
Kundalini. I've always wanted to take a Kundalini class.
Me too. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's
add
do
that
it.
To the list.
All right.
You guys too. If you're like totally lost on where to start with chanting, besides YouTube, which offers a lot of
pronunciation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank
yeah.
you. Pronunciation.
Guided.
Yeah. I mean, you could use that, but
mantra.
Catch a Kundalini class.
Yeah.
They use a ton of chanting and mantra.
Catch a Kundalini.
Catch a Kundalini class.
I like it. I love alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there are all types of mantras, and they can help with depression, anxiety, create wealth, basically anything you can think
create
of.
Create wealth. What?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, money. Just repeat money 108 times.
Money,
and it'll
money,
just
money.
Appear in your hand. So there are many types of mantras. So they can be verses from the sacred texts, and we're going to show you some examples later.
Mm-hmm.
They can be entire verses from these texts, the Rig Veda, the Upanishads, They can be musical chants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, that's what we used
yeah.
in my teacher training.
Same.
And we did like a prayer to Ganesh. And it was, you know, in song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sing it for you now.
Why not?
Because I sound like Phoebe in the Smelly
oh,
Cat episode.
Smelly Cat.
Smelly Cat. What are they feeding you? Wow,
that
was pretty
gorgeous.
Sexy.
Dang.
Oh my. Okay, you know what? I am going to sing. Gonna, no. sorry. I'm repulsive. So anyway, there can be many types of mantras, but the third time, they can be verses from sacred texts, musical chants. They can be single syllables, or they can even be sounds without any kind of assigned meaning other than they sound uplifting and meaningful, which
yeah.
is kind of how I describe Bon Iver songs. Bon Iver.
Wait, I was gonna say, is that how you say it?
No, I think
I've been
bon
calling
Iver.
Him Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Bon
Iver. That's like Bon. Hey, Bon. I don't know.
Bon. I think it's
Bon
Iver. Bon Iver. I think you're right.
But his songs, like some of them have meaning, but a lot of them are just kind of like, oh, I love it. But a lot of them are just words. Like Minnesota, Wisconsin was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it
did you look
makes,
up the lyrics or something?
Yes.
Because I never know what he's saying half the time.
It doesn't mean anything to me, and maybe it means something to him.
Yeah.
But for me, the syllables just are beautiful.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
It means nothing to me,
yeah.
but it's beautiful. So anyway, that's kind of how I Minnesota, Wisconsin is my mantra.
I like it. Side note, he's really good to do yoga too.
Yes, for sure.
Musically.
Mantras can also be spoken or chanted or sung or silently
just like
spoken?
Repeated in
yeah.
your mind.
I guess that would have been silently spoken.
You can't
but
silently speak them.
Silently
like
repeated.
Thought. Yeah.
That's the word.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
That's the word.
So one type of mantra is called a Wait, how do you say it?
Bija?
Bija.
Bija
mantra.
I was thinking of a Bijan.
I was like, is it
dog?
Beach or? Oh, a Bijan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
A frisee Bijan?
I don't know.
I think that's kind of lettuce. Never mind.
Lettuce?
Frisee.
That's a type of lettuce?
I think so. It's a spiky lettuce.
I don't know that lettuce.
Side note.
Yeah.
So along, like, on our first date.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I don't like spiky lettuce. And because it was like, you know, with the spikes on it.
I don't know what spiky lettuce is.
You know. It's like
if
the lettuce
it,
in a fancy restaurant that has freaking needles on it.
Does it hurt?
No. I mean, but
like,
kind of.
I don't understand.
I think it's called frisee.
Okay.
I don't even know.
Okay.
But
I believe you.
Anyway, years later, I found out he thought I was trying to be cute, and I meant spicy lettuce, and I was like, spiky lettuce? And then I was really embarrassed that he thought I was like, ooh, this spiky lettuce.
That's weird.
But I actually meant spiky.
Lettuce.
It had spikes
it
in
was
it.
Was actually spiky.
Yes, not
okay.
spicy in its stupid, weird, cute way.
Is there
anyway.
Spicy lettuce? I wasn't aware that there was
yeah,
spicy
Yeah, like mustard
lettuce.
Greens are pretty
oh,
spicy.
Well, yeah,
some microgreens have a kick.
Yeah,
or
that's
radish
true.
Lettuce. Is that
okay, you're right.
Just making shit up.
All the spicy lettuce.
Anyway, back to Bija mantras.
Yeah.
That took a weird turn.
You do it. I still don't want to say the word.
So one type of mantra is called a Bija mantra or seed mantra. And this type of mantra can be thought of as a seed that energizes an intention. So when you repeat these Bija mantras, you nurture the seed and you take care of them and eventually they blossom. So Om is a seed mantra. It's the original seed mantra that is known as the source of all other mantras.
The original gangster.
Oh, is that what OG stands for?
Yeah.
I just thought it was original.
No, original gangster.
Wow.
OG.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
You learn
Sweet.
Something new every day. So the oldest known mantras are written in Sanskrit. Om, for example, means universe. When we recite Om, we can hear an echo of the universe or the sound or in the sound of the mantra, if you believe that. I guess. Right? Like, you will hear the universe. There is a vastness and an openness to the mantra Om. It is as if we can bring a part of nature or the universe into our very being. So Om, yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. So when we chant Om, we do it in three parts. It's A-O-M. It's like an opening, a middle, and a closing.
I read something earlier
yeah,
this morning
okay.
about that, and each of those parts represents a different part of the universe,
yeah.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the source that I actually looked at, which I'll never be able to find again, but it actually said four parts.
Oh.
And it mentioned that silence after.
So oh, you know what?
Oh,
I did read that too.
And then
silence. Yes.
Silence.
Yes, I did read that.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't know that. I didn't know that until I did my teacher training.
I didn't know
I
that.
I thought
until...
om was just om.
Right.
And that's not correct, I guess.
I didn't know it until like an hour ago.
Cool. So when you do it in those four parts, it does have a sense of vastness,
mm-hmm.
and openness. So I can see how it's like the sound of the universe. So take it or leave it. But yeah, it's one of the OG mantras.
You.
Yeah, you do you.
So mantras can consist of single sounds or words or a whole string of sounds. So when we recite these mantras, we're not only making the sounds, we're also meditating on them. So we're not just going like, lam, lam, lam.
Lam, 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 lam.
We're really thinking about the sounds and listening to ourselves saying
yeah.
it and feeling the vibrations. So when we meditate on om, for example, we're focusing our consciousness on the mantra itself, the space inside that sound. So
yeah.
all of those parts, not just moving your mouth.
Right. And it gives your mind something to concentrate on,
right.
which is super helpful,
mm-hmm.
instead of just like trying to, you know,
be silent
yeah,
and meditate.
Yeah, which is so hard.
Right.
So it's another tool
yeah.
for meditation. Another example of a type of mantra would be the root chakra mantra LAM. This is also a bija.
Bija.
I hate that word. Bija.
Bija.
It's a bija or seed mantra. When used in mantra, it creates a sense of grounding and belonging. It makes us feel safe. So different mantras can have different vibrations and therefore it'll have different effects on the body and you'll have different experiences within your mind and body. So we have some examples of mantras, which are much, much longer and much, much more difficult. They're all in Sanskrit and they're old AF.
And we're probably not going to repeat them.
No, we're not. Well, some of them, but the first two we're not going to because they're so long and we're going to butcher them.
However, for the first two, we will put a link to videos
yeah.
for each of them in the show notes so that you can hear them firsthand from people who actually know Sanskrit.
Yeah. And they're really beautiful.
They
so
are.
I highly recommend looking mm-hmm. them up and listening to them and maybe attempting to sing along or chant along with them.
Yeah.
So the first one is called the Gayatri Mantra. And again, I'm not going to say it, but I will tell you the translation of the Gayatri Mantra, or one of many translations. It is on the absolute reality and its planes. On that finest spiritual light, we meditate as remover of obstacles that it may inspire and enlighten us.
Very nice. I like that.
Gorgeous.
It seems like a great way to begin your meditation practice. It sounds
yeah.
like a nice, like,
opening
intention to
like
practice.
An invitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So the Gayatri Mantra was first found in the Rig Veda, but it's also scattered in other ancient texts. The Upanishads mentions it, the Gita, and it's also highly praised by the Buddha.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the real deal.
That's the... That's, what do they call that?
I don't know, stamp of approval?
Yeah, that's a stamp of approval
yeah,
I want.
Stamp of approval. So use it.
You're good to go. The next mantra is called the Mahamrityunjaya Mantra.
The what?
That I'm not doing that again.
Okay.
That was way better than I thought it was going to go.
That went really well.
Thank
you.
I'm not going to say the rest of it because I'm just going to, you know,
yeah,
call
so
that a
long
day.
One.
But again, we'll put that one in the show notes as well and link to a video for that one. And the rough translation of this one is, we meditate on the three-eyed reality which permeates and nourishes all like a fragrance. May we be liberated from death for the sake of immortality, even as the cucumber is severed from bondage to the creeper.
That last line is so funny. What?
Of all the analogies to use... A cucumber?
A cucumber from the creeper.
I guess. Here's the thing.
It was really beautiful
garden.
Until that part.
I don't garden, so I don't know if cucumbers, like, are a vine.
They
or...
are a vine.
Okay.
I attempted to grow them this summer.
Okay.
Unsuccessfully. I got one cucumber out of it.
I would call that a success.
Mm, no.
Okay, you started with no cucumbers.
Yeah.
And
okay.
then you had a cucumber.
You're right.
That's 100% increase.
Yeah.
Over... year
That's true.
Prior.
That's true. Okay. I successfully got one cucumber, but it is a vine. It's a really tough vine,
okay.
too.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, creeper.
Creeper.
Got it.
So, we don't really know what that means.
Nope. Sorry.
But what the experts have told us is that it is a call for enlightenment and purification of the soul's karma. So, it's also said to be a very beneficial mantra for your emotional, mental, and physical health.
Yeah. On to my very, very favorite mantra. This one goes, I'm actually going to say it. It's only one line, though. It's easy. Loka samasta sukino bhavantu.
Yeah, nailed it.
That was beautiful. Thank you. So that translates to, may all beings everywhere be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to that happiness and to that freedom for all. So good.
Beautiful.
Tear. I just really like that one.
What a wonderful way to live.
Right?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Last one?
Last one. The last one that we have is Om Mani Padme Hum. Again, there's not a this one is one of those ones where we don't really have a translation.
Mm-hmm.
There's argument actually out there that this is one of those ones that just has it's just for the sake of the sound. Wow. However, the biggest consensus is that each of the syllables is a teaching that represents purification of the six realms of existence. So the first syllable is Om, and as we talked about, that's universe, the sound of the universe, but in this case, it also stands for generosity, and that purifies for pride. Ma is ethics, and that purifies jealousy. Ni is patience, and purifies desire. Pa is perseverance or diligence, and that purifies ignorance and prejudice. Mi is concentration or renunciation to purify greed. And Hum is wisdom, and it purifies hatred.
Cool.
Cool, right?
So cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
The middle part of this, Mani Padme, also means jewel of the lotus.
So pretty.
Yeah.
So modern use of the word mantra, so how we use mantras today. I feel like we are super casual. But what's wrong?
Matcha chunk.
Okay. Katie's drinking matcha and just made like the weirdest face.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Wait. Dregs.
Moving on.
All the way to the bottom.
So yeah, we're super casual in how we use the word mantra. Like, what were we saying earlier? Like, people just say,
like
YOLO is my mantra.
Oh my God, guys. YOLO
is
like my
mantra.
And penguins are my spirit animal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
But they are actually your
spirit
animal.
Yeah, actually the spirit animal. It's the tuxedo.
But seriously, it's the
tuxedo. I could wear a tuxedo every day. I
would
not.
It was the walk.
It is the walk. It's just that eager, like, nose up.
Yeah, they are always
so
eager.
They always look so happy, like, chest out. They're like, hey, guys, what's up?
They're so cute.
I know, I love them. Anyway, back to mantra. So
yeah.
YOLO is my mantra.
YOLO is my mantra. Not really, though.
No.
Okay. So basically just that people are way too casual in how they use the term mantra.
Yeah.
Which is fine. They probably just don't even know what it really means.
Right. It's kind of become a way to just say it's something that we repeat to ourselves often.
Yes.
So it's less sacred. And honestly, I'm sure a lot of yogis wouldn't agree with me because of the sacredness of the Sanskrit sounds. But the way I see it, if repeating a word or a phrase is improving your life,
yeah,
go get it, girl.
Right.
And if you look in the mirror and you're like, you're hot stuff every morning and it makes you feel good, do it.
Yeah, I like that. And I don't think it has to be Sanskrit for it to be a mantra.
No, just traditionally.
Yeah, right. Totally, traditionally. But you can use English for your mantras. Like,
right.
If you want to repeat, I don't know, like, what's a popular one? I am love over and over and over.
Or let go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a million.
Right. But again, that's just a more modern
take on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I, like, along the lines of making your own mantras in whatever way you feel fits into your life, a lot of times we have just hateful words on repeat in our minds.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All of us.
And, like, you get up in the morning, you're like, oh my God, my eyes are sunken into my face. Look at those bags. I feel fat today. Like,
I feel
all
tired,
that crap.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so busy.
All
I'm
the
tired.
Negative self-talk.
Right. And all of that is on repeat in our minds.
And that's a mantra. It's a
bad
use of mantra.
Yeah. It's a really bad use of mantra.
Yeah.
But imagine just like the shift of energy you would feel and everybody else encountering you would feel if all those words were replaced by positive and uplifting words throughout the day. Just like, notice if you're going in that direction and you're looking in the mirror in the morning, you're like, oh, I look tired. Then change it. Just be like,
adjust.
I'm looking good. Or, man, I worked hard yesterday.
Yes.
I like that.
Totally.
Because you know what? Looking tired is not a bad thing.
No.
It just means you're using your time.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's keep it positive, people.
Yeah. And that is mantras.
Ding.
Ding. Why do you care? Why should you know about mantras? Well, sometimes you may want to make it part of your practice.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
You never know unless you try it.
So start by choosing a mantra. You can Google common mantras. Maybe there's something that's popping up in your mind in English and you just want to kind of make up your own. Like, you've been really upset with somebody lately and you want to let that go.
Yeah.
So maybe your mantra is let go. And so if you, you know, just repeat that in your mind, you can either repeat it in meditation. You can repeat it in the car. You can repeat it when you're facing that person and you're like, forget it, forget it, forget it,
forget it. That's funny.
Doing any of those will kind of help you bring this into your practice. You can also use mala beads to help you keep track. A very common practice is to choose a mantra and use mala beads to help you track how many times you're saying it. There's 108 beads on the mala, on a typical mala bead, and you would use those to count as you chant your mantra 108 times. Doing this is called mantra japa. And we're going to have a whole episode on mala beads and the magic number of 108, because that comes up in yoga a lot.
Yes, it does.
In the future.
So recently, like 3 days ago, decided that I wanted to try mantra in my practice because it had been a while, probably since teacher training, really. That was the last time I dove deep into mantra. And when I came across Loka, Samasta, Sukhino, Bhavantu, it like just resonated with me immediately. I was like, yes, I love this one. I remember this one. I love the meaning. The translation is easy. I get it. I can relate to it. I'm going to use this. So, I meditate every morning for 20 minutes before I practice my yoga. So the last 3 mornings I've used this in meditation. I set my timer for 20 minutes and I go until that 20 minutes, is up and my timer goes off. So the first morning that I was practicing, it was really hard. I kept forgetting it. I would always switch Sukhino to Suvino. And then I'd be like, no, it's all right, it's all right. And then I'd have to like open my eyes and look at my phone again.
I was going to say, I would have to have it in front of me.
Yeah, so I probably had to check 3 or 4 times that first
morning.
Oh, that's
not bad.
It's not bad, but like you get into a rhythm and then suddenly I'd lose it. I'd be like, wait, I forgot the whole thing. Even though I've been saying it for the last 10 minutes.
After 108 times,
yeah.
You're like, what am I doing?
So the first morning was a little rough, but I didn't give up. The second morning was a lot better. I think I only had to – so like I repeated it a few times, like looking at my phone, and then I think I only had to look one time. And I was like, yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. And once I got into a rhythm, it was like really easy to get into it. And I found it a lot easier to clear my mind because I was so focused on the mantra that I wasn't thinking about everything I had to do during the day, which is my biggest struggle in meditation. My mind just goes all over the place. And then this morning I did it before teaching and it was awesome. I just like, I looked at it once, I went into it and it was like, right in.
Nice.
Yeah. So I guess 3rd time's the charm.
Cool. Did it open anything for you? Like, did the meaning cause any change?
Not yet. You know, I did use my, what's that stone called? My lapis lazuli. I've been working with my crystals and stones a lot more too, which again, I haven't touched in years. Like I have all these awesome things and I just like stopped using them. So I was like, I'm going to try and start reintroducing things into my practice. So I had my lapis stone in my hand while I was chanting. And I did feel like my hands don't know, it was almost like a vibration, like, in my lower body. So, like, that was cool. So, I don't know what that means or what, or if it was all in my head, but...
That's awesome.
It was cool. It was, like, it was a really good meditation session, and I don't have a lot of those, so I'll take it, you know?
I like it.
Yeah. So, that's my experience recently with mantra. You guys should try it out. Highly recommend it.
Glowing review.
Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite mantra is Soham, and it's spelled Soham.
Soham.
Soham. That is Soham.
Right,
but it has really taught me a different level of compassion. I would probably say my teaching journey started with Soham.
Oh.
Because until that point, I was like, I'm just a student. And then I was like, I want to explore this deeper,
yeah,
you know? But my teacher had us chant it in class one time and explain the meaning. And just a side note, there are so many different interpretations of Soham. This is just what it has brought up for me, what it means to me. Soham translates as I am that or I am he. What it means is what you are is the same as what everybody else is. So you are part of I am what Hitler is, what Trump is, what Mother Teresa is. Like,
okay, yeah, that's better.
It means I am.
We're all one.
Part of that. Yeah,
yeah,
we are one.
Mm-hmm.
Non-dualism. Boom.
Nailed it.
And at first, like, she's explaining this, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, no.
That's like, gross. I am not
those people.
That person.
I am not an asshole. I do not burn down villages. And then I realized, because it stuck with me all week.
Yeah.
Like, I tried reciting, because she had us go into Shavasana reciting that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, really resistant. And then all week it was, like, stuck in my craw. And I was like, what the heck? And then, like, as I – it's not, like, just in a week. I was like, oh, my God, I understand now. But over time – I realized that I am that. We are all responsible for all of this shit.
Yes.
And I believe in this collective unconscious. And if that is feeding into it, if terrible people are doing these terrible things and feeding into it, I'm also responsible in solving that problem.
Yeah.
So I need to keep feeding good into this collective unconscious. And fighting against the bad. And
you just gave me goosebumps.
What?
I love it. Yeah. I call them truth bumps.
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard. Is it too soon to have merch?
What, like, hashtag truth bumps?
No, like a t-shirt that says truth bumps on it.
No, I like it.
Oh my God, it could be polka dotted.
Oh, that'd be cute.
That'd be super cute.
Truth bumps.
Truth bumps. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Continue, because that was really beautiful.
But anyway, we are all responsible for fighting all that bad stuff. We can't just say, oh, you know, I'm a good person. I'm just going to sit this one out. We're all responsible. And sometimes it's also taught me this compassion that when I don't, you know, kind of what we were talking about with Aaron last week,
mm-hmm.
when you're like, great. All right. You're a racist and I don't like you.
Right.
How finding finding some compassion and figuring, not excusing anything that they're doing or saying, but trying to understand why in order to solve the problem instead of just writing them off as a lost cause.
Because that's the easy thing to do.
Right.
Just being like, well, screw you.
Yeah. I'm just not going to face that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't actually
fix
anything.
To try and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, see things.
More.
Yeah, so hard.
And it doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes it's just like, I hate you, you're an asshole. But
that's
why this is a journey.
That's right.
Yeah. So my other mantra story, because it's all about me right now.
That's good. I love it.
My other mantra story was kind of what we were talking about with modern mantras. It's just a phrase in English that I used. But it was when we were in Costa Rica.
Okay.
And I forgot, it was one of the nights that we did the candlelight yoga.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And then afterward, it was just super chill and relaxing and a gorgeous night in the jungle.
Was it
on
like
the ocean?
The yin night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that night.
Yep. I was super chill afterwards and I'm laying in Shavasana and I was thinking, let go, because I hold on to things like most people and I was just feeling angsty for absolutely no reason. I'm in this gorgeous place. There was nothing nothing that could be bothering me at that time. And yet I still felt like there was something just like itching me,
yeah.
You know? Maybe it was those little bugs.
It could have been.
And I was telling them, let go!
Let go!
But anyway, so I just started chanting to myself in my head silently, let go. And then afterwards, after Shavasana, I sat up and I just actually wanted to meditate, and that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you stay after?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
okay, I remember now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I just – and Jesse stayed with me,
mm-hmm.
which is really nice.
Yeah.
I felt very supported, which is really cool. But I just sat down and I just kept repeating, let go. And within 10 times, like 2.5 minutes, I was, you know, inhaling, let, exhaling,
yeah.
go. I just started bawling.
Really?
I do not know why.
I don't even know that.
I don't know why. Like, there was.
You were letting something go.
Right. But I would love to know what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of that whole thing is that you
not
don't
knowing.
Know what it is.
Yeah.
But something released, and
that's awesome. I got goosebumps again.
truth bumps. Hashtag truth bumps. And it was that was kind of the moment. Actually, I do know what I let go, because that was kind of the moment where I was like, I've got such a control on my life and my career that this isn't what I want to do. I want to
yeah.
explore something else. And then, you know, that's been a twisty journey, but here we are. Yeah, it was a really powerful moment, and that really kind of changed the rest of my year, which
so
had just
cool.
begun. But
yeah,
it was a very powerful moment, and it was, yeah, I couldn't stop crying.
Oh, that's a good story.
For the rest of the trip. I was like on a hair trigger. I cried every 5 minutes,
Did
and that's
you?
Not
Why
me.
Why don't I remember you crying?
Oh my God, like anytime somebody looked at me, I was like,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I cried a lot.
Did
that
you?
Whole closing ceremony?
I remember you crying in the closing ceremony.
Oh, my God. That
I
was pathetic. And nobody else was. And
what are you talking about? So many people cried. You were not
yes,
the only person
but
to
like
cry.
A full 10 minutes after I started.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I walked in and everybody was sitting down. I'm like, Anyway. So.
We're gonna wrap it up.
That's
mantras.
That's mantras.
Explore it.
Check it out. Try
it
yourself.
It.
DIY.
Maybe let us know how it goes.
Yeah,
feel
we'd love
to
hear from you.
Yeah, drop us an email or
whatever.
Where else can they contact us?
You can email us at WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at WTFYogaPodcast.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah, please subscribe.
Yep.
You can visit us on Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You can message us there as well.
Yeah.
Or questions just, or just with your stories.
Yeah. Follow us.
To hear from you. Yeah. Please,
we will follow you.
Follow us. We'll follow you back.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
What the fuck?
Hey guys.
We hope you love what you hear on What the Fuck Yoga Podcast. If you do, please like and subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.
Also, follow us on Facebook and the Gram, aka Instagram. Send us your burning questions or comments to WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.